deserts are supposed to be hot, dry, and void of trees. This desert is surrounded by timber, gets plenty of rainfall, and sees snow and cold in the winter. We go to a very unique desert on this edition of the American Countryside. A Farming the Countryside podcast, we're talking about the stories, tips, and trends affecting agricultural and rural America. What can you expect in the markets? How do you evaluate new technology? What are the latest trends when it comes to successful crop and livestock operations? Those topics and many more are our weekly focus with guests from across the nation. Farming the Countryside is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Find the Farming the Countryside podcast on the AgriTalk app or just use your favorite podcast platform. And you can follow our show on Facebook. Catch Farming the Countryside for a weekly look at the stories affecting rural and agricultural America.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
There wasn't anything all that unique about this strip of land southwest of Portland, Maine, when the first Anglo settlers arrived here.
In the 1700s, it was a very productive farm. The Tuttles founded it, and he bought it without telling his wife. And so when he went back and told his wife, she said, "I'm not moving unless you bring the house and the barns."
To keep his wife happy, Mr. Tuttle did take apart their current home and barn and move them there. Gary Curran says the Tuttles began to till the land and raised sheep as well. But over time, something very odd began to happen to the soil.
Sand started appearing, and they didn't know what it was. They kept trying to cover it up. What it was doing was eroding away the topsoil that built here through thousands of years through the ice age. And underneath it was the glacier desert.
As the soil eroded, the sand deposited hundreds of years ago by glaciers continued to come to the surface. At first, it didn't deter the owners from trying to continue their farming operation.
They kept trying to correct it with bringing soil in, but it just kept appearing because the winters and the rain and stuff was too hard on it. Eventually, they just left the property, and it was abandoned for several years. Back in 1925, when another gentleman bought it, tried to do different things with the sand, like make bricks out of it, windows and stuff.
When the brick and glass operation failed, the owners decided that such a pile of sand was an attraction and began charging fees for people to come see it. Today, it's known as the Desert of Maine.
There's four glacier deserts, one in Alaska, one in Denmark, one in Washington State, and then this one. And the difference is the way the sand is formed. It's been more crushed, where a beach is more eroded. So it's not like other sand, but this desert is in every way like a desert except for the rainfall. That's the only thing that's actually doesn't classify it as a desert.
Currents recently passed the property on to new owners, who continue to hold events and open the unique sandy spot and keep the unique sandy spot open for the public to enjoy. Traveling the Countryside in Freeport, Maine, I'm Andrew McRae.